Good morning. Harvest, would you help me welcome all those that are first-timers today? Just put your hands together. We just want to welcome you. If you're here for the first time at Harvest, we just love that you are here each and every week. We're blessed with newcomers, new first-timers that are here, and as our church continues to grow, we just want you to know we just are so glad that you're with us. Harvest, one more time, our online church, let's just welcome those that are not in the room. They're watching online or maybe on demand, and we just want you to know that we love you. We're so glad that you're being a part of our service today. Finding Your Village Part 4, this will be our final installment, and next week we have guest ministry pastor Diego and his wife from Brazil will be here, and it's part of our Viva Connection, and I have not met Pastor Diego, but I certainly have met his reputation as he oversees a very large multi-campus situation in Brazil, their youth and young adult ministry, and Pastor Frank says we are going to be so incredibly blessed. So donuts for dad, come early for that, and then we're just going to have a great time with Pastor Diego. It's going to be a great, great Sunday. Finding Your Village, Part 4. I think I said that already. What about my people problems? We can't talk about connection without talking about the fact that when human beings get together, sometimes there's a little bit of drama. Anybody understand drama? Family drama, work drama, people drama. It's kind of a part of people coming together. By the way, our summer series is launching the week after Good Friday. Really looking forward to going through the fruit of the spirits. It's a really great opportunity to do kind of a format of Bible study. We'll be teaching, presenting in those 9 weeks of the nine fruits of the spirit. And in terms of our summer step out and connection challenge, if you take it a step further, each week we'll be providing small group discussion in our notes, and so you can get together with people and talk about Sunday's fruit of the Spirit, a great opportunity not only to connect, but to connect together around the Word. We want to provide you with those resources. I think all of us, as we just giggled and laughed a moment ago, when it comes to people stuff, we're all aware of it. We've had people, difficult people in our lives. And I want to talk to you about that today because kind of working through that's important. Perhaps some of you have had issues where you've been hurt by others. And so the idea of connecting isn't very appealing to you. You don't get excited about that. And I'm hoping that even today that there's a miracle that can take place in us as Christ followers as we allow the Lord to do a work in our lives, as we work on each other, sandpaper on each other's lives. The Bible talks about steel on steel sharpens, and we sharpen each other's lives. And most often, that's not intentional. That's some of the unintentional interactions that we have. So if you're excited, too, today that maybe I'll share something, and the person in the room that you're having some issues with, you're just like, finally, they're going to hear the truth and get their life turned around. I promise you that's not what's going to happen today. We're going to kind of look inside today. And have you noticed that you can kind of get stuck in this area as well? You know, that person at work or that just kind of gets on your nerves, or the person sitting beside you, don't nudge them right now. And you try really hard, and it only makes it worse, and to try to work it out. And we're just going to see from the scriptures today why that is. And so we're going to start in the book of James and kind of look at where the problem is when it comes to people drama and stuff. And then we're going to move on. I'm going to give you five things that you can do to keep your relationships healthy, even amongst the people that are driving you bananas. Father, in Jesus' name right now, thank you that you love us. And Lord, that today, connection, it's so important, and that the body not be divided. There wouldn't be schisms. When we talk about the village, Lord, that, we want to segregate the village sometime. I like this part of the village, not that part. But Lord, all of the village today, all the characters, all the personalities, help us, Lord, to grow in this area, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, even if you know the village idiot. You don't want to segregate the village. We want to know how to work with one another. The world doesn't model this, and Jesus said the church would. And so what we're going to look at today is not easy. And without Jesus, I believe it's impossible. And so there's a work that happens in us, then we can freely, we have received freely, we can give. And that's really what this is about today. And so James, in James chapter 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? So James begins, he opens it up for one-on-one, and it's recorded in the book of James, and he asks that question. So why are you guys arguing? Why are you not getting along? Why are there fights and quarrels? And I mean, the response, oh, James, come on, that's easy. If you were married to the person I'm married to, you would figure out really quick why there are fights and quarrels. If you had to work with that guy at my workplace, you would know, James. You would know. You wouldn't have to ask. You've been behind the pulpit too long, James. You got to get out there. You know, you go through Jim Hortons. They get your order wrong all the time, it seems now. And it just, stuff's going on, and people are people, and it's traumatic out there, James. Why are you asking this silly question? That person in my small group, James, have you met them? It's really easy what causes fights and quarrels. It's the other person. And often that's kind of where we begin. Not often, I think all the time. That's kind of where we begin. We are focused on the fights, the quarrels, not getting along, people drama coming from the other person. And he goes on, he says, the fights and the quarrels come from your desires that battle within you. Say, it's in me. It's in me. It's in me. It's in Pastor. It's in you. And the real cause of our people drama is inside of us. And James is going to talk about these desires, something that's not right, something that's a little off, something inside that's not right that Jesus wants to get a hold of. And it's not until areas of our life are revealed, and often revealed with the roughness of another person, the offense coming from another person, difficulty, people drama, can really access, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit, into areas where we desire something. James says, you want something, but you don't get it. And that's the source. That's the source, actually, of most of our issues. Is I want mine. I want something, but I somehow can't get access to it. And so as James is teaching us this morning, I wanted something from that person. I wanted an apology. I wanted an apology. I didn't get it. I wanted respect. I didn't get respect from them. I wanted something from them, and I didn't get it. I deserve a raise. I deserve to be treated better. I deserve some respect. I deserve, you can fill in the blank. We want something relationally and from others and from situations, but we can't somehow get a hold of it. We can't get it, and it becomes the center of what we're dealing with. As a result, he says, you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. So you exert all this energy to try to get something that you're not going to get. You say, well, I've never killed anybody. And I would respond, well, not yet. I mean, you know, when you do people stuff and drama, I mean, sometimes we think it through. Is there a way I could get away with this? And of course, no, not physically. But hey, looks can kill, right? Snake eyes from your kids, man, they practice real young. I watched my grandkids do it yesterday. There's a laser coming out of their eyes. They want you to know they're so angry right now. If looks could kill, words can kill. We've learned that, right? Words have the power of life. They have the power of death. Words can kill. We fight and we disagree. And while we just do have people problems, And if we're honest, we have them in our marriage. We have relational difficulty in every arena that we're related and connected to somebody. And sometimes we just feel like we're full up of relational stuff. And the idea of connecting in the village freaks me out a little bit. And I don't think I want to do it. And yet we've been learning that we need to do it. We must do it for our own mental health, for our own spiritual health, for the health of Harvest, and for the world to watch us be on mission and model something different. Will you step in the village again? And so James is talking to us about where it's coming from. And then he gives us the solution. What's the answer, James? How can we step back into the village? How can we lower the drama that we're feeling and the relational stuff that we're carrying? And he said, you can't get a hold of what you're trying to get out of these relationships. You're trying to pull something. You're trying to receive something. You want something, but you're not accessing it because you don't ask God about it. And simply, and maybe you feel like this would be oversimplified, but I want to show you this morning, this is not oversimplified, because this is where the miracles take place. This is where we learn healthy relational being together, is that we're not talking to God about what's happening on the inside. When I feel relationally, I want something, I'm not getting something, and we're not going to God and saying, what's going on inside me right now? What is the frustration I'm feeling? What's the lack I'm feeling? What's this space I'm feeling that I would prefer to run away from than to lean into with this particular person, whether a loose connection, an acquaintance, the village, or right in my own marriage? We don't have because you don't ask God. We can say it this way. We try to change others when God is trying to change us. That was like a golf clap. That was a beautiful drive, Pastor Roy, as the ball was teed off and landed. No, that's okay. I just want it to sink in, and I know it is. And we're going to say it together. Ready? We try to change others when God is trying to change us. And there's no peace in trying to change another person. Christina's been trying to change me for 42. No. That's true. My hearing aids are selectively listening today, so I didn't hear what that comment was, but I'm sure it was really good. And there's no peace in that, whether it's our marriages, whether it's any level of relationship, and we're just looking and we're so convinced we know what needs to change in that other person, and if it would just change, we'd be happy. I'd be happy. And often that's what we're trying to receive and get, is our own happiness. Stop making my life miserable. We're trying to get, and James says it's the source of the problem. Instead of saying, Jesus, what are you after in me? What's going on inside me? Remember, we're talking about how we're going to model something different in the house of God than what's in the world, and the world would see that we love one another. And we're not talking about kumbaya, you know, perfection. We're talking about, no, it's raw, it's real, it's authentic, it's sincere. And we just work through our stuff, but it's working through because we understand freely we have received and freely we're going to give, that God wants access to each and every one of us. And this is how it happens. And there are some ways to allow the Lord access. And these are just practical things I want to give you today. Last number of village messages have been practical. And today's practical. Number one, as we're just working through this, overlook the offense from them. Oh, Pastor Roy, that's easier said than done. Overlook the offense that comes from them. You know, I think that just the way society is built, and we can be keyboard warriors, and we just watched this week, the richest man in the world have a hissy fit and a temper tantrum on TV. It's like we're living, I was going to say reality TV show, but it's a big reality show, and it's a gong show. It's nuts. And so, you know, the world just, you know, we're all in tune with our emotions and emoting all over the place. And Elon Musk can just have a hissy fit. And I know it's a $30 billion a day hissy fit. Maybe I would too. But I think what's happening is we're becoming more and more thin-skinned, hard-hearted, thin-skinned, hard heart. Not a good combination. And so Jesus wants us to get our skin, the exterior, a little harder, let some things bounce off and keep our hearts supple and keep our hearts soft before the Lord, keep our hearts soft toward others. And there's just this ultra sensitivity over so many issues. So you can barely say anything anymore without somebody taking exception. And it's not that I don't like your opinion. I hate your guts because that's what you think. Right? And so we're trying to model something. And if anyone's going to do better, it has to be us in the house of God because of Jesus in us. And Jesus wants to correct that. He wants it to be different. He wants us to be able to live in the village that not every little thing offends us, ticks us off, and we're ready. I'm done. I'm done. That's it. I'm done. What does that even mean? I'm done. And Paul said to the Corinthian church who were experiencing some of that in the first place, I hear that when you guys come together, there are divisions. And to some extent, I believe it. And what he was talking about was the village started having little groups and their sides. And let me tell you my side of the story on why I'm offended. I can be offended, you know. And it's interesting, isn't it? When you tell your side of the story, ooh, yeah, that sounds horrible. There's always two sides to every story. We're learning how to overlook offense. Why? Love overlooks the wrongs that others do. You feel yourself responding. You can feel it rising up. And I know I'm right. Like, if I wasn't so right about this, it wouldn't be so bad. But I'm right, and they're wrong. But there's no peace in that. And as we begin that prayer, what am I trying to get out of this situation? Why do I have to be right in this? Why does the I am right giant in my life rising up right now and screaming inside me? And I begin to pray, Jesus, help. And the peace of God begins to come and we experience his love for us, his acceptance for us, and then we can respond in love to others. When a fool is annoyed, wise people get annoyed too, but when a fool gets annoyed, he quickly lets it be known. 26 texts before you've even processed the situation yet to 26 different people. Wise people will ignore an insult. Ignore. Again, these things are impossible without the grace of God and Jesus working in us because we don't like to ignore. We want to rehearse. We rehearse it over and over and over. Sometimes I've got a text that I've received and it annoys me and I'll read it to my wife and I read it with the emotion, my emotion, the emotion I'm assuming that the other person has texted with. Texting's awful because you don't get to see the body language and the emotion. Have you ever done that? And you go, there's no caps, but you're yelling, I can't even believe they text that to me. And Christina will say, well, I didn't hear that. I mean, I hear it in your voice, but I don't hear that in that text. When a fool is annoyed... All right, we want to be wise. Reading text and inserting the emotion. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Wisdom gives patience. If you don't have patience, you don't have wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, you're acting like a fool. And so to gain wisdom, the Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So we come back to the place, God, what are you doing? And I'm feeling like I have this lack of patience. So James says, then you need wisdom. Pray for wisdom. It'll be granted to you. I begin to pray. What's going on? Why do I feel so bothered right now? Why am I feeling foolish right now? Why do I lack patience right now? And it is to his glory to overlook the offense. And then when that power, that miracle happens on the inside, and I can go, that's not really a big deal at all. It actually glorifies you as well. It doesn't just glorify the Lord. It glorifies the Lord in us, and character begins to develop, and wisdom is beginning to happen. And it's really for your benefit. Not for theirs, for you to ignore it. For you to go, I don't have to get bothered about how they said that. Or we weren't invited to their summer cookout. Or I don't like how that went. Oh, people drama at Harvest. Starts in me. Lives in you. It's foolish because we don't know how, we can't ignore things that should be ignored. Why? Lord, begin to character build in me and let wisdom take its place. Love has the ability to look past the behavior and see the pain in someone else's life. And so often we're fixated on the behavior that's hurting us, and that pain is real. The hurt is real. But when we begin to be able to navigate with what God's doing in our lives, we begin to have eyes of empathy to see that hurt people hurt, and they may themselves be in a position that they don't know how to respond in a different way. And yet grace being given back, love being given back, could be the very thing to set them free and to help them in their journey. Number one, a little bit longer. One, we're ignoring. Number two, we're going to pray for them. You bet I'm going to pray for them. Jesus, I pray you change them right now. And Lord, you know that that attitude stinks. It's from hell. That stinky, stinky attitude from hell. And Lord, and when they come to church on Sunday, they're going to hear the truth, and the truth will set them free. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Lord, if that doesn't work, boils in their armpits, Lord. And just, you know, when they go out for a walk, they like walking, ticks everywhere. And that'll teach them. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, Jesus. It's in the Old Testament somewhere. I got something from them and I want to give it back, and I want to use prayer to do that. There's a tricky one, because sometimes prayer is not prayer at all, but it's kind of witchcraft. It's our desire and what we want to change them, and we're trying to change. And this can really happen amongst spouses as well, because we know our partners so well, and we just think that we can pray that in prayer, you know, kind of have God's thoughts and pray them for him about our spouse. And it's really witchcraft. It really is. It's a way of trying to manipulate the situation in a spiritual form. And the Bible calls that witchcraft. And so you're not going to cast a spell over somebody. That's not what prayer for somebody is. It's beginning to just ask the Lord to be with them, to be for them, to pray for their life, pray for their prayer requests, and to be the first person to do that, even though they're the person that irritates you the most. God's working on the inside. And it's interesting, when you begin praying for someone for their benefit, your heart will become softer. Thicker skin, softer heart. Why? Because now you're seeing them through God's eyes. Because you're praying in the Holy Spirit. If you were here Tuesday night, we talked about praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Spirit. We had a powerful time here. Thank you for those that came to First Wednesday. Wow, we had a time. It was just really, really good. If you're here this morning, you enjoyed First Wednesday, just put your hands together and yeah. Thank the team that were part of that. Jesus said it this way. You've heard it said that love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the eye for the eye thing. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's not a spirit of revenge. It's a spirit of really believing that there's a miracle for them. And when you believe there's a miracle for someone else, there's a miracle for you. And really, that miracle starts to happen inside you. The Lord will begin to touch your life and your heart. He'll make himself real to you. Number three, forgive them. Forgiveness could be a whole sermon, and we always want to be careful to say that forgiveness is never saying it's okay. Little kids will do that. Johnny, can you tell, you know, Jane that, that you know, she pulled your hair and or you pulled her hair, and could you just tell Jane that you're sorry? And really sometimes kids are thinking you want them to say, it's okay, because that's what they say. It's okay. No, it sucks. It's really bad. It's rotten. It's not okay. But forgiveness is deciding that you're not going to hold the bill for what is owed you. Forgiveness is not for them. It's really for you. And you say, but they owe me. They owe me. They deserve this for doing that to me. They owe me an apology. They owe me. They owe me. And it's a bill that's a debt that you can cancel in Jesus because he's canceled all of our debts. We're able, freely you have received, freely you can give. And you're deciding, I'm not going to hold the bill. And you can forgive, and in forgiveness, you can get free yourself. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgiving someone won't change the past, but it will change my future. I can't change the past, but I can write the future. And why this is important, because many of us, the Lord doesn't have access to what's going on in our life because we have someone to blame. We have something to blame. And as long as we hold the bill and we're not letting go of it, if you knew what they did to me, if you could, let me tell you, and I'm going to rehearse it some more. And it actually kind of, the bill kind of gets bigger than it needs to be sometimes. And we're just blaming that area, and we're blaming that spouse for being the way they are. And we're blaming, and we're blaming, and we're angry. And as long as you have someone and something to blame and you hold the bill, Jesus doesn't have access in that area of your life. And he can't change it because he can't get to it. He wants to. But when you stop blaming, stop holding the bill, you actually have a wide open area of your life that needs a miracle, will get its miracle because Jesus has access. Because you're going, Lord, I'm not sure why I'm feeling this anger, feeling this revenge, feeling this unforgiveness, feeling this grudge, feeling like if I let this go, then I let them go. And the Holy Spirit can begin to have access to that area of your life. Number four, bless them. Bless them. A team, if you want to head up, you can take your place, and we'll be transitioning in just a moment to bless them. And it's not just asking the Lord to bless them. And it's part of that. And I always find when there's somebody really, I'm angry, I'm offended, I'm ticked off, I'm hurt. It's my first go-to, Lord, I just pray blessing upon, and name the name. And then if I'm feeling a little bit better about it, bless them in their finances, bless them in their health, bless them. And it just begins to release something in your spirit as you begin to bless those people. It might be difficult people you're having some people drama with, but it really is saying to speak well of them. When you bless somebody, you speak well of them. And one of the hardest tests in my life is when I have had things happen that genuinely, I mean, it sucks, it's wrong, it's bad, I'm on the short end of the stick, and especially being in a position of a pastor of a church, things can happen in churches, and sometimes what they did was private, and I can do something public, and there's a temptation, because I don't have to even use full sentences, body language, drop a name a certain way, raise my eyebrows another way. And you can say things about another person to give a listener an understanding or a question mark about that person. And it kind of feels good when we do that. It strokes that humanity, that sin nature in us that Jesus wants access to. And some of the largest tests I've had is to publicly honor people who have privately disrespected and really sinned against me. And I publicly will honor them. And I've had someone that's knew the story come to me and go, I don't know how you just did that. And I go, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's Jesus in me. Yeah, but you didn't even, I practiced a lot. Yeah, but no, there was sincerity in that. And I go, I wouldn't say it publicly until I could say it sincerely. Well, how did you do that? I prayed and I blessed them a lot. I ignored. I asked the Lord that I could love. And you go through these stages, and I give that one example. I could give you 25,000 where I didn't get it right. So I'm not trying to say I get it right all the time, but we learn how to do this, and you will grow in character, and you will be a better people, person, and connector in the house of God. We don't have to tell our side of the story. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. Impossible without Jesus in us. Do not do wrong to repay a wrong. Do not insult to repay an insult. But repay with a blessing? Are you serious right now, Peter? Because you yourselves were called to do this, that you might receive a blessing. You can actually speak into somebody's future. You can tell your perspective of what's taken place. Or you can choose to speak well in the hearing of somebody else. Pronounce blessing on them. And the Bible says you actually just blessed yourself. As you'll get good at this, because if you take the Bible at its word, and that's what we sing about, I take you at your word. Da-da-da-da. If you said it, I'll believe it. Right? We sing it. But as we learn to bless others, we're actually, that blessing's being turned around in the Spirit, and God's putting it on us. So you can actually be limiting your own blessing life by limiting the blessing that you're pouring out. This is the thought for the moment. This is so that you might receive a blessing. God's amazing. We're doing this for others, and yet he's saying you'll be a recipient. You will actually be a better person because of all of this. Remember that God spoke the world into being. Our words have life, power of life have the power of death. We create our world with our words. And by refraining from gossip, by refraining from retelling the story, by doing these things, we actually create an atmosphere. I'm not talking about fake. I'm not talking about, ooh, God bless you. I hate your guts. I'm talking about working it through, getting right, letting Jesus have access. It's sincere. It's authentic. It's messy. It's a process. But we create a world at harvest with our words. Number five. Do good to them, which simply means find a way to serve somebody you don't like. Show up and cut their grass. You do. I mean, this breaks down so many barriers, and we've seen it over the years. Just people will go, you know what? And you don't have to, like, you don't tell them. You do it anonymously. I hate you. You really bug me. But hey, I came over here, and I sweat in your backyard and cut your grass. I want you to know that was me. No, you can do things without them knowing. And the act, because that's what serving is. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And the writer, Paul, to the Romans is acknowledging that there are extreme cases where this is not possible. But we're not talking about those today. We're just talking about general life together, connecting people's stuff. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. It's in your hands, Lord. You're the judge. I'll let you take care of this. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, what do you do with your enemy that's hungry? Feed them. Take them out for dinner. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Oh, that sounds great. Burning coals on their head. Do something nice. There you go. Burn, baby. I never understood this scripture as a kid. And coals were a commodity. I mean, you cooked with the fire. You heated your house when it was cold with fire. And you know when the fire goes out, it is a pain to have to go start the fire from scratch. Coals were a very valuable commodity. And it, not valuable like a lot of money, but valuable convenient-wise. Like, it just made life so much easier to have coals. Stoke the fire right there. And he's saying, by doing this, you are, it's like convenient living. You are providing them an aspect of living. Makes their life so much easier. You're making their life easier at the same time making your life easier. By doing this, you're making their life easier. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With every head bowed and every eye closed today. So we're just talking about the village and connecting and people stuff. Overlook the offense. Oh, boy. Oof. That's hard. Pray for them. I don't want to, because when I'm praying, I'm talking to Jesus. And I can't cuss when I'm talking to Jesus. And I want to cuss when I think about them. Forgive. Oof. I kind of like holding the bill. Bless. Listen, this is all impossible. I know that. And the writers and the scriptures know that. Matthew 10, it said, freely you have received. I've received, you've received. Jesus hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He's able to overlook our sin because he looks at his blood that was poured out for it. If we're honest about how many times we get it wrong in a day, let alone in a week, in a month, in a year. And the Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And it's not, oh, Father, there's Roy doing that again. Gee, you know, I Holy Spirit's going to talk to him this week, and he's going to try harder. And Father, just would you just release that grace that he needs right now? No, that's not how Jesus prays. Bible says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Though he didn't sin, he understands ours. And he prays with empathy. He prays with hope. He prays knowing tomorrow. He prays, Father, Roy's a warrior. He's down right now, but I'm praying right now that we send heaven's resources. And of course, forgiveness. Over and over and over and over and over and over, Jesus forgives us. He loves to bless us and he loves to serve us. Freely you have received. And so the only way this is possible is we take what we've received from the Lord and we give it to others. Holy Spirit, in this room right now, that we would just commit to realize that the problem's in us. There's so much to relate to today. I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you be the surgeon that you always are? Point to the area of your word that's a two-edged sword that divides between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Divides, and we can't, in a moment like this, we can't deflect. We can't excuse. And it's beautiful because you have full access to our hearts, our spirits, our minds, our will, and our emotions. And whatever Holy Spirit is speaking to you in a moment like this, just say yes to it. Yes, Holy Spirit, you have access. I'm going to give you access to that part of my life. Thank you, Lord. Hey, just before we go today, freely we've received. And every week we know that there's someone in the room that you have not received forgiveness of your sin from Jesus. You've not received eternal life. You've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior. And it's our honor and privilege in a moment like this to suggest to you that today could be your day of salvation. That today you could receive love beyond your understanding, forgiveness that washes every aspect of our life. It's called being born again. Jesus said you must be born again to enter into heaven. It's a gift that God gives us. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. There's no amount of good that you can do to offset the bad of sin. But today, freely you've received. He wants you to freely receive his love, his forgiveness. If that's you today, it'd be my honor to pray with you. I'm going to count down from three, three, two, and then one. If you'd like to receive salvation today, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Raise your hand when I get to one. We're going to pray a corporate prayer, all of us in the room, but we're going to invite you to make it your prayer today as we all repeat a prayer after me. After we pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to take one more step. You came in with some notes today, and there's a box you can check. Today, I prayed the prayer of salvation, and give that to one of our host team members. They want to celebrate with you and give you a Bible and simply say, we are for you today in the greatest decision that you've ever made. You have to make the decision. The Lord is offering it. You have to receive it. Freely receive today. Three, it's for you. Two, simply raise your hand and let me know this is for you today. One, anywhere in this room, is there someone that would say, pray for me today, Pastor. I want to receive salvation. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Harvest, anybody online, you can text in right now, I want to pray for salvation. If there was someone else in the room, I invite you. And Harvest, we know what to do. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today, I want to freely receive your love, your forgiveness, what you did on the cross for me. I acknowledge I'm a sinner separated from you. But today, I turn to you. I receive forgiveness of my sin. I receive eternal life. I receive your presence inside me today. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Today in your name, amen. Hey, would you stand? Just congratulate those who've prayed that prayer today. Let's just sing this before we're dismissed.
Still do miracles. You will do what you say. For you're the same God now as you've always been. That's the power of your name. Just the mansion takes away. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same.
Just thank you this morning. There is no power like the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for this service. Jesus, we thank that you just show up in a mighty way. Father, I'm praying for each individual. As we leave here this morning, God, you will protect them in their health and their mind and their safety, God. And Father, just be with them as we go about our week. We thank you today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Harvest. Have a great day. Have a great week. And we'll see you back here next week.